Well, good morning, good morning. And it's good to see all these beautiful faces out here and to know that you have the living God in you. Have you even thought about that today? You probably just thought you got up this morning and you had a regular start to the day. Well, consider that God lives in you, because that's what we're talking about. I'm going to give a little review about what we talked about earlier with about your identity, how always the attack is against your identity. If you know who you are, you can stand strong. If you know that God is in you, it changes everything. So we talked about what God's plan was for you last week, for you, your identity to be formed of Him. He is your Father, okay? When you become born again, God is your Father. So you adopt His name, okay? So we're going to just review this one part right here. It, Romans 8, 9. A lot of you figure you just got up and, you know, I'm just a human. You know, I just operate out of my human being. Well, this says something different. Romans 8, 9 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Does the Spirit of God dwell in you?
Yes.
All right. If you believe in Him, the Spirit dwells in you. "Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His." All right? So you're either in or you're out. Okay? If you're in, the Spirit's in. If you're out, the Spirit's out. Okay? "Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." We talked about how you're imputed righteousness from Jesus, imputed. That is given to you. That is, you did. It's a gift, and it comes from Jesus Himself. Okay, so you have the righteousness of God. Not only that, you are called the righteousness of God. "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." All right, you feel a little tired this morning? Does God get tired? You know, He gives life to you. I wasn't feeling real great last night, but this morning, God gave life to me, and I am excited to be here and share the good news with you. We talked about that we were sinners, but you're not sinners anymore. Old things are passed away. You're a new creation, okay? A species that didn't exist before. Woo-hoo! Can you get excited about that? I hope so. You should. You should be enthused, because the living God lives in you, and He has changed you into a spiritual being. You see, we talked about last time, there's a lot of things that we believe that aren't necessarily true, or they're not necessarily biblical. Jesus didn't come to redeem us so we could be the same person. No. That we were before. He didn't even redeem us so we could be servants or even friends. But let's see what Jesus said once again. This is where I wound up last time. Is in John 12, 24. Said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." We talked about how Jesus was saying this to His disciples because He was going to plant Himself, okay? He is the seed sown, all right? So it produces much grain. So He's saying, when once I'm planted in the ground, my seed falls into the ground, it's going to yield fruit. But what kind of fruit does the seed yield? It yields the same kind of fruit that its DNA is. So It doesn't grow something different. It grows the same thing, okay? He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life, okay? God did not plant His Son to reap sinners, or even sinners who have been cleaned up on the outside and now go to church. God did not plant His Son to reap even servants. You know, we always say, like, oh yeah, I'm just a servant of God. No, you're so much more than just a servant, okay? You have his name. He is not he has indwelled you. It's so much more. And it's not just a simple adoption. It is a transformation that goes with this. Okay, you will serve. Don't be confused. Jesus served, okay? But God planted his son to reap sons. Not something else, not servants, not, you know, that's all part of being a son, okay? So God does not violate his own word. In Galatians 6:7, it says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." That also goes for God. He's held to that also. So he sowed his son, so he's going to reap from that very type. So no matter what other position you might hold, either in church or elsewhere, or what service you perform, some people get their identity from what they do. How often do we ask somebody, well, what do you do? I mean, that's a pretty common leading question when you get to know somebody, isn't it? Well, what do you do? Well, I heal the sick and I raise the dead and I cast out devils. Normally you answer with your job, don't you? Isn't that what you usually do? Well, you got another job. I want to tell you about that. Okay? And we have had our identity stolen. Our identity is sons of God. Okay? So when you think about who you are, you think, I am a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Okay? We say sons because we know that in Christ there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, but all are one in Christ Jesus. So that covers you two girls, okay? We have had our identity stolen too long, and it's time to take it back, okay? Now we get into today's message. That's just a little review. That should be encouraging for you. Okay, so we see that John 1, 16 to 17, "And of his fullness we have all received." How many of us have received his fullness? Ah, good. You're listening. "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." So if you want to walk in the truth, it comes through Jesus Christ. The knowledge of the truth and the life that is in the truth is in Jesus. Sons are those who do the work that Jesus did. If we are acting according to our identity as sons, we will do the same things that Jesus did. 1 John 3:1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." That's your name. You see, that's your identity. Your identity is no longer that sinner, that person that you were before you met God. Your identity is a son. And you live out of the inheritance that you have in him. You're not trying to reach God by doing good works, but because he lives in you, your desire is to do good works. Okay, we should be called the sons of God. "Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God." When? Now. Not when Jesus comes back. Now. Okay? We'll still be sons when he comes back. Not. I don't want to confuse you. But you are this thing now. And what you're going to find out is the gospel is now. It's not only for some future thing in heaven. It is for now. "Therefore, because it knew him," okay, "doth not, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, what this verse is talking about is not suddenly when Jesus shows up at the end of the age, you know, and establishes his kingdom on earth, that you are going to be suddenly changed. That's not what it's saying at all. It says that we shall, when he appears, we shall be like him. It doesn't say that it'll happen then. It is a transformation process that is already happening now. And when he comes, we will be like him at that time. Okay? So, you are already going to be like him. You understand? So, if you see him, the scripture says that because we shall see him as he is. Well, how do you see him? You see him when he shows up. When you call upon the name of the Lord and he shows up, you see his character. You see him because he shows up. Okay? He, in John 14, 21, it says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved of my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. What does that word manifest mean? Reveal, to become real. Good. Show up. I like show up. You know, that's real common words. So Jesus shows up. It says he will show up to him. He will demonstrate, he will reveal himself to him. So if we are loving him and keeping his commandments, then he shows up to us and we see him. We know what he's like. Does that make sense? Okay? So in that way, we already know what he's like, so we know what to shoot for. We know what the aim is, who we are becoming. 1 John 3:8 says this, he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, showed up. For this purpose, Jesus showed up, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Okay? So Jesus showed up. His job was to destroy the works of the devil. Whoever is born of God, what is it? Who's that? That's a believer, right? You're born again. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed, the word to emphasize here is seed, remains in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Does that mean you can't mess up? No, it doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that you're covered. Okay? What that means is your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. That doesn't absolve you from doing the right thing. It's not, that grace doesn't exist just so you can live however you want. That grace is so that you can do God's will. The point is, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? His seed. Who is the seed? Jesus talked about himself being planted in the ground, right? The seed, right? God wanted to create a lineage that was uncorrupted. Uncorrupted. Did I do 1 John? No, there it is. Okay. God wanted to create a lineage that was uncorrupted, so he used his very best DNA. All right? His own divine nature attributes. So think of DNA, divine nature attributes. Okay? That's my anachronism for today. And Jesus said, if you have seen him, you have seen the Father. God planted his very best seed that the whole of his fruit would be spiritually uncorrupted. Okay? So the washing of Jesus is supposed to bring you into a new life. And that new life includes the DNA of God, the divine nature attributes of God. Jesus is that incorruptible seed, the seed of Abraham. Galatians 3:16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. Okay? So all that talk in the Old Testament about the seed of the woman crushing the head of the serpent, that goes clear back to Genesis. And when it talks about the seed of Abraham, this is who we're talking about. Jesus Christ, who came to bring us into the inheritance that God always intended that we should have. So when you were born again, everything changed. Everything changed. And this is what happened, right? In relation to God, you are a son. In relation to man, you are this man's servant. In relation to the devil, you are his master. Okay? He has to obey you. Isn't that great? It takes, you know, you got to stick with it, but he's going to fight you. But nevertheless, you have the victory in Jesus Christ. Okay? So say it after me. It's up on the board. I am God. I am God's son. Go ahead. Man's servant. And the devil's master. I am God's son. Man's servant. And the devil's master. Wow, that feels good, doesn't it? You know why it feels good? Because the spirit inside you is agreeing with that right now. Because that's what God says. He says that he has given you authority over every principality, power, every demonic realm. Nothing is excluded. All things are under Christ Jesus, right? Says that he sits on the right hand of the Father. It says that all things are under his feet. Well, you're in him. So you're above all things with him. You see that? Whoa. I mean, that's a load right there. Don't let it shake you up. That's really who you are, you know? God intended for you to walk like Jesus walked. When this starts to get into you, you'll see it everywhere in the New Testament. We're trying to get your mind renewed so it doesn't get in the way of the truth. See, the Bible has these amazing truths, and we just read those things, we go, oh, that can't apply to me. Doesn't sound like me. Well, adopt your new identity because you have a real identity that God has chosen for you. Okay, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, right? We read that previously. What did he do? Well, what did he do? Come on, you guys read your Bible, don't you? What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. Did you say that? Did anybody say that? Okay, good. Okay, so he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he cast out devils, he preached the good news, right? Well, that's awesome. Good on you, Jesus. But what did he command us to do? Huh? What did he command you to do? Me to do? Matthew 10, 7 through 8. He says, go and preach, saying, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received and freely give. Wow. Well, some of you are going to say, well, that was for the apostles. That was only for the 12. Well, you can also see this a little later. He does the same thing to 70 more, 70 others, okay? And says, that's awesome. But, you know, the command for us is to do the same thing that Jesus did. So the same thing that he himself did, he said, okay, disciples, you do this thing. See, this is how the church works. We are an extension of Jesus' body. So what Jesus is doing through his body on the earth, he wants to do through you. Now, come on, get a hold of that. I mean, you think, oh, you know, I'm just a person. No, I already showed you, you're a spiritual being. You've got to let it grasp you in the way that it moves you, right? So, when we do what Jesus did, it destroys the works of the devil. So, what does the works of the devil look like? Well, the works of the devil looks like sickness. Jesus destroyed sickness. Well, if a person's oppressed by demonic forces, Jesus wanted those people free, right? So, he delivered them. So that's our job. Same thing, okay? It destroys the works of the devil, because that is the work of the devil, that somebody should be in confusion or acting in ways that are not appropriate, all this kind of thing. This is an amazing life of Jesus doing the things that he did. But let me remind you what Jesus said in John 12:25. It says, "He that loves his life will lose it, and he that hates his life in this world will keep it unto life eternal." You cannot live the life of Jesus unless you are willing to die to yours. Let that sink in. Because that's... Okay, so just die to yourself and live in him. That's where all the power is anyway. He says we're supposed to be in him. He's in us, we're in him. Sounds a little confusing, but it's got the devil confused too. Devil watches you do something that Jesus did, and he goes like, "Oh, I don't know. Looks like Jesus. Sounds like Jesus. Maybe I better obey." Yeah? So he does too, okay? As long as you know who you are, right? You know you have the authority. Listen, everybody wants a resurrection life, but nobody wants to die. You know? That means there's a life change, a real change in your life where you start to look like Jesus. I hope you're beginning to grasp God's plan for us from the beginning was to be sons. That's what God wanted from the beginning. All right? You look at the genealogy of Matthew and you go down all this from Jesus on back, and it gets all the way down the line. And what does it finally say? It says, "And Adam, the son of God." Right? God had a son in Adam. But what happened? Okay? Then God, and at that time, he said, in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every other creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. I notice there's no other genders mentioned here. Make a note. So, we were made to bear the image of God. You, as a child of God, are the image bearer of God. You know, some people say, "Oh man, that boy is a chip off the old block. Man, he has so many of your mannerisms. He acts like you." I'm talking about people tell me about my son. You know, says like, "Wow, even his voice sounds a lot like yours." And, you know, I'm good with that. That's okay. That's a good thing, isn't it? And so if God's your father, you should look like him. Okay? We bear his image. When people see us, they should see God. Jesus said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Right? And if we're supposed to look like Jesus, then that's what we look like. We are godly. But God set about, okay, the image of mankind was marred at the fall. When Adam and Eve disobeyed, you know, things fell into disarray, and the enemy took a position that he wasn't intended to have. But God set about to restore and infuse his own DNA, divine nature attributes in us through Christ Jesus. Have any of you thought about how Jesus came into the earth? I mean, you even think about that at Christmas time? I mean, what happened? The Spirit of God, it says, came to Mary, and the seed of God went into a woman, a human being, right? Listen to me, the seed of God went into a human being. And who was born out of that? Jesus. But you and I, when we're born again, that's exactly what's happened to us. The Spirit of the Lord comes and implants the seed of God, which is Jesus. Jesus said that I will never leave you or forsake you. He says the Spirit of God comes into you. You have His Spirit. You have the Son. You have the Father. If there's different places where this all comes together. The fact is, we are spiritual beings walking around with the entire Godhead inside of us. Is anything too hard? Should anything be too hard for us? We have the authority. We have the ability. Why? Because He's given it to us. Not because we're just, you know, wonderful people and that all comes together, right? So God wanted to restore the DNA, the original DNA. So He sent the original, see, from which we were made in the beginning, because we were created in God's image. So those who are the seed of, are from the seed of Christ, are in God's image. Okay? So He was in the business of restoration, and that is all through Jesus Christ. He's given you an upgrade to be a son. How many of you like upgrades? Aren't upgrades great? Huh? Wow, upgrade. Now everything works like it's supposed to, right? I could get into a lot of stuff on it, but I got to move on. Okay? Romans 8, 29 to 30. For whom, I'm going to talk about predestination for a minute. Some of you might have heard stuff on predestination. This is the kind of predestination I believe in because it's directly from the Bible. All right? For whom He foreknew, He also predestined. Predestined what? He didn't predestine them to salvation. It says He predestined them to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So who are those many brethren? Whoa, that's you and me, those who believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus was the firstborn, and we are in His likeness, okay? Predestined, whom He foreknew, He also predestined. That means that the predestination here has to do with you being conformed to the image of Jesus, right? Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. So, now, how many of you use this for an excuse? Well, you know, they kind of wanted me to do this, but I'm not called to that. Well, I'll tell you one thing you're called to. You're called to be like Jesus. Okay, that says right here. Whom He predestined, these also He called. These also He justified. So you're already justified. That's made pure, righteous, okay? And He justified, these also He glorified. Maybe you should read this real slow on your own a little later, because there's a lot of stuff here, okay? So you are being conformed to the image of His Son. Now, how many of you see the image when you think of Jesus? Do you think of that little baby Jesus? Huh? Do you think? I used to think of myself. Somebody said, oh, you're a child of God. I go, oh, boy, I'm a five-year-old. And I go, Daddy, Daddy, you know what? That's not the image that God wanted us to grow up into. That's a start. That's lovely. I'm not against that. That's a good place to start. We all start as small children. But that's not the end game. That's not the end goal, right? So God didn't intend that we should just remain in this little baby Jesus stage. And a lot of people want to even visualize Jesus as this little baby in Mary's arms. I used to have that all messed up, but I was young at that time also. But anyway, Jesus, you are to grow up into Jesus, the manifest Son. Okay? I want to take this clip from, this is Ephesians 4, 12 to 15. Basically, this verse is talking about the fivefold ministry, and that is He appointed apostles, prophets, teachers, preachers, workers of miracles, etc. Anyway, so these were gifts to the church. Okay, and they were supposed to do this job, and I'm picking it up at verse 12 to shorten this up a little. For the equipping, they exist for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. How many knows what ministry is? That's service, right? Let's just use simple words here. Ministry. Usually you think of ministry as something like what I'm doing right now. That's ministry. But that's not the only ministry. It's serving in whatever capacity that you can do as a son of God, right? So, for the work, so the purpose is to raise up the saints. Who are the saints? Notice it doesn't say sinners here. For the equipping of the saints, you're the saints. Come on, say it. I am a saint. You are. You are. And God is raising you up through teaching, preaching, and activities of being Christ-like for the edifying of the body of Christ. The purpose is till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, actually, what this means here is when it says the knowledge of the Son of God, this isn't knowing about Jesus. This is knowing what Jesus knows. Okay? That comes by the Spirit. To a perfect man. Well, you say, oh, I'm not perfect. Well, that's not what God said about you. To the measure of the stature of the little baby Jesus. No. What does it say? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that's the goal. That's the target. That's where we're headed. Okay? Don't look back. Set the mark and go straight to it. Okay? So his purpose was that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Whoa, that sounds a little wicked. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So when you grow up, you don't just grow up, you grow up into something. I grew up from a child into a man, right? So our goal and our purpose is to grow up into the image of Jesus Christ. All things. We will grow up in all things into him. You probably haven't read it quite like this. Okay? You are growing up into Jesus to become just like Jesus. Okay? The entire creation is waiting for us to realize who we are as sons and do what we're supposed to do. Show up and grow up. Okay? Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. So we look around us and we see the world's in disarray and we just say, wow, that's a, you know, the world's really in tough shape. You know, why is that? Well, maybe the sons didn't show up. The sons and daughters of God didn't show up. Jesus said that we would do the works that he did. John 14:12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father. Okay? What were the qualifications in this verse? Okay? Who's he talking to? He's he who believes in me and has what gifts? Well, I notice that part isn't there. It just says he who believes in me. Well, that means any one of you, right? Don't say, well, you know, I don't have that gift. It's kind of interesting on the gift thing. Most people think you have to have certain gifts to do what Jesus did. You do have to have one gift. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? And that gift can lead you into all the gifts. I'll just share a little story. My wife and I were out on our anniversary, and we were on the trail out of Bowman Bay, which is by Deception Pass. And we took a little walk. We ran into a couple there, and they were from Taiwan. We got to talking, And we told them, they said, have you been here before? Oh, yeah, many times. Well, they say, well, where do you live? And I said, well, we actually live in Albania. And they said, what are you doing in Albania? And that's it. So these people were Taiwanese. They'd been in the United States for something like 40 years. And they had just moved to this area. And I said, well, this is the first time we've been out here. And they said, are you missionaries? And I said, well, yeah, we are. And Sandy thought they might be Christians. And anyway, so I shared a particular scripture with them, and she immediately started to look it up. We departed ways, walked a little bit, and they went one way, and then they came back on the same trail with us again. One of the things they said was, oh, you people are just, you know, you're so full of energy and not like us, you know. And so when we joined back up with them, I said, so, you know, are we that much more energetic than you? What's you have a physical problem or what? And I said, oh, well, you know, he has a breathing problem. You know, he doesn't have much energy. He's got to rest a lot on the trail and so forth. And I said, well, I should pray for you in Jesus' name. I said, lungs, you work like you're supposed to. Every other organ that supports that, work like you're supposed to. Be healed in Jesus' name. I just slapped him on the chest and I said, all right. And we parted ways and they said, like, well, you'll probably walk much faster than us. So we went on down to the trail and we were ahead of them and got back to the car and then they came walking in. And the man, he walked over to the car where we were. We had doors open and we're just there. And he walked up and he said, do you have some kind of gift of healing, some power to heal? And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, well, because when you prayed for me back there, it changed. I didn't come out of breath like before. And so that was just awesome. I have that ability, but that ability comes from the Spirit that's inside. And you're a believer? If you're a believer, you can do the same thing. And so we began to talk more on that subject, that it doesn't take a gift, a particular gift. In other words, the gift of healing. Well, I don't have the gift of healing. You got the Holy Spirit. You know the Holy Spirit did every healing that was ever done. How much do you need to know? No? You just need to know how to release the Spirit from within you. And you'll see all kinds of crazy things happen. It's just wonderful. That was quite a blessing, actually, for that when that guy said that. Let's move on to Romans 8, 14 to 17. Whoop. Okay, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Joint heirs does not mean you get half of the inheritance. It means you share the same inheritance. You guys, I'm sure some of you in here have joint checking, right? Right? This is a great example of joint inheritance or a joint bank account. It's the same idea. Basically, either one of you can show up and you can write the check for as much as is in the account, right? Isn't it wonderful that you're on God's account? Now, if you have a wife and she's on your joint checking, do you have to co-sign for her? No. I mean, my wife can go in and empty the bank account like, bam, you know? I hope you guys don't worry about that now that I said that. But anyway, the reason why she can do that is because she has my name, right? I mean, we have the same name. And I talked about that identity. This is so important that we understand this. You get so much with this inheritance. You don't get part of what Jesus had. You get the whole thing. And you can live from that down to earth and bring the kingdom of God. Listen, God has withheld nothing from us. Nothing. He can release you to do things that you do not believe to be possible. Jesus did all kinds of miracles when he was on the earth. One of the things that he did was to heal a man with a withered hand. Okay? You know what a withered hand is? You know, it's like if somebody's got a hand that's just, he's never used it for a long time. We actually had a case like this. I went to a church, and I ministered at this church a number of times. But I saw this guy, and he had this hand that was like this, and he never moved it. It's just, it was like that. He'd been that way for, I think, 37, 47 years. It was a long time. Everybody in the town knew this guy, right? Because he just lived in the same town his whole life. And we were praying for people, and he wanted to be prayed for. I'm not even sure if he wanted to heal this. He just thought that was part of his life, I guess. And so I laid hands on him, and I said, "Arm, you work." And I grabbed that arm, and he'd been like this for, like, he didn't ever move the arm. I mean, I never saw it in a different position than this. And it's like, oh. And I said, "Stretch out your arm." And so he kind of, like, here. I grabbed his arm, and I put one hand here and one hand on his wrist, and he just, like, I mean, it was so stiff. I thought, God, if I let go of this midway, it's going to pop back and hit him in the face or something, you know? And so, I mean, really, I go, I expected this to just kind of loosen up. Stretch forth your hand. And I got the arm down till it was almost flat, you know? And I thought, oh, my God, so, you know, what's going to happen now? And so I said, now stretch out your hand. And he goes, and I took one finger at a time like this and straightened out his hand. And next thing you know, he's like this, you know? And I'm going like, or he's at this point, and I go, now you work it. I says, can you do anything with it? So he's got it like this, and he can't move it back. And I'm like, arm, you work. And I push it back. And the crazy thing is, you would have thought that thing would have sprung back like a spring. And actually, I had to push it both ways. And I go, arm, you work. And I'm doing this, and pushing it back and forth. I go, come on, you work. And he goes, and I said, now you do it. And he goes, and he's finally like, totally, his hand is straight. And everybody's sitting around looking like, wow, we never seen anything like that. And that's, like I said, that's not because I have a special gift. That's because the Holy Spirit working through us can do anything that Jesus did. Okay? It just requires our belief. So this guy, I'm trying to keep this story short. I got a little bit more to cover. Jeff told me that I'd be flogged if I go too far. Anyway, so this fella, his name was Hamid, and we went back there a couple weeks later, and I see him in this, kind of back in this position. And I say, like, Hamid, did you use your arm? He says, was I supposed to? Yep, let's go again. Come on, arm, you work, you get straightened out. And I said, now, you use that thing. You use that thing every day. Came back a couple weeks later, and he's like everybody else. I mean, dude, you could never tell he ever had a withered hand. But he was born with it. So God does great things if we will just believe and expect him to do those. Romans 8, 31 to 34. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Okay, so with Jesus comes all things. How many things? All things. All things that pertain. All things that pertain to what? There it is. I was just a little, am I still behind or am I good? No. What am I doing? No, I'm ahead of myself. All right. 2 Peter 1, 2 to 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What's that word godliness mean? Like God. Yeah, godliness, like God, godlike. Wow. So his divine power has given us all things that are about life and godlikeness. Wow. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. One version says to his glory and virtue. Okay? By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. You partake in the divine nature of God because he's given you an infusion of his DNA. Okay? It's a wonderful thing. Do not, Luke 12:32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Listen, God has forever answered the underlying theme for deceit by Satan, and that is what Satan planted, the idea that God was holding out on you. God is not holding out on you. Okay? The Bible says he's not holding out on you, and I've proved that he's not holding out on you or me or anybody who will believe. God has withheld nothing from us. He has forever made us sons. He has given us his power and authority. He has given us all the inheritance of Jesus. He has given us his divine nature. He has given us the kingdom. He is in us and we are in him. We are one with the Father and the Son. We are loved with the same love. We have the mind of Christ. Do you know the Bible actually says that? That we have the mind of Christ? Some people are still trying to get it. We should just use the one we have. Eh? We have it all. We have it all. Jesus even shared his glory. In John... Woo, what happened? Okay. We went awry here. Just hang with me just a second. Let's see what I'm doing here. We jumped a ton of... Okay. Jesus even shared his glory. So, John 17:22-23. Jesus is praying for those who would follow after him. He said, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me." Okay, so God is inside of Jesus. Jesus is inside of you. That's God the Son, God the Father, and we know also the Spirit, right? Okay. And you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Okay? God has trusted us with his mission. He made us the ministers of reconciliation. His ambassadors, speaking and acting in line with his will. This is, you know what, an ambassador always represents their nation, right? I mean, they're not supposed to take things into their own hands. They're supposed to do exactly what the nation wants or the administration of that nation. We have a few rogue ambassadors from the United States these days. They got fired, some of them. So anyway, we don't want to be fired from being God's ambassadors. He has equipped us with everything needed to get the job done. So you might say, "Well, but you know what? He said you have it. You actually operate in it. It's like your muscles, you know. If you never use them, they never grow. So it takes a little exercise, so you exercise yourself unto godliness, okay? But you're already equipped. So if the job isn't getting done, it's because we aren't doing it. This is God's plan. I think he put a lot of trust in us, right? That he should give his whole mission into our hands. But he knows the equipment that he's already given you. The enemy doesn't want you to see that, because then, of course, you would do what Jesus did, which is destroy the works of the devil. If you destroy the works of the devil, you destroy the kingdom of the devil. Wow, that's awesome. This is God's plan. He doesn't have another one, okay? Would you imagine with me for a moment that every born-again Christian was doing the same works that Jesus did? The same works that Jesus did. I mean, Jesus has influenced the whole world. He started out just one guy. How many people are in this room that are born again? How many do we have? I mean, what? Give me a number here. What do we got? 50 people? I don't know. Whatever. Something like 50, 60, 70. 70 Jesuses going through the neighborhood, doing the works of God, showing people the kingdom of God, preaching the kingdom of God, doing the same works that Jesus did. Tell me, how long could evil survive in our communities if we were all destroying the works of the devil the way Jesus did? It's time for a change of mind. It's time to think of ourselves the way God thinks of us. And that's repentance. Repentance is a change of mind, okay? So we need to exchange our old thoughts with the mind of Christ, okay? We have the mind of Christ. We need to start using it. So change your mind. Adopt the identity that God has chosen for you. Have you ever thought about how God might use you? I mean, if he used a guy like me, why not you? You know? I'm nothing special, but he's used me in a lot of ways and seen a lot of miracles, seen a lot of people healed, delivered, set free. It's an amazing life. But that's the life that God's chosen for. He hasn't just chosen that for me. And you don't have to be a missionary to do this. You can do this right at home. You can start today. Okay? What could you do? What could you do? Father, I pray that you would seal these truths in the hearts and minds of those that hear this word today, whether they hear it by recording or whether they hear it right from this room. May your Spirit transform their way of thinking, that the truth may prevail and work through them as it did through Jesus Christ. I speak life over this entire congregation. I speak the knowledge of the truth and the acceptance of who God has made us to be, that they might surely walk in the truth. Amen.
Thanks, Dad. Hey, just wanted to say, too, I asked Gary, Dad, you can call him Dad, too, if you want to. I asked him to come and share this. You can head down. I'm going to take this out of your way. Because we've been talking about salt and light and being a community of salt and light. And I think we have some really challenging but good steps ahead of us to start activating into being that salt and light community. And I wanted him to share what he shared in these two messages. If you missed his first one, you can listen to it online. Because I wanted him to kind of set the foundation of understanding who we are. But the series that we're going to start next week is I'm going to start talking about how God fathers us up into living like Gary just described. There is a process of fathering. And there is a willingness on our hearts to approach God as Father that has been assaulted our whole life. And even just using that word Father for some can be difficult to picture God. And immediately we get this lens that goes over our eyes and we see God in a certain way because of the way we have experienced life up until now. So we're going to learn how to be fathered by God up into being a community of salt and light and we're going to walk into that together. So that's where we're going from here.
Stand.